You're listening to the Premier Automotive and Lifestyle Podcast. This is Through the Apex.
Start your engine.
Here are your hosts, Mark Anthony Murray and Sean Rosa.
Whoa, we are back. Your hosts have arrived. It's been a 2-week absence.
Has it been?
It's been 2 weeks, I think.
Feels like 30 seconds almost.
30 seconds, right?
It's just so much is happening. It's at such a high velocity.
Man, it's nice to be back. It's nice to be back in the chair, on the air, on the mic, over the internet waves.
The dual thrones.
How is your Game of Thrones binge
going? Speaking of thrones, oh, it's done.
It's done?
It's done, man. I can finally partake in the conversations that are happening around me, and I can feel like a productive member of society because I can discuss the current state of the largest show of all. It was good, man. It was goodly. I talked to Jess about some stuff, and when does it actually premiere again? Nobody knows. We'll figure it out.
It's in April.
It's somewhere in this month.
Yeah, it is finally April.
It is finally April. Lots of great things happening in April. You know.
What's happening?
April 14th. Well, you know, somebody's birthday is in April.
Oh shit, that's bad. Are you talking about my birthday?
Yeah.
That's bad. See, that's
how you know.
Dance goes to show you when you ask me what am I doing for my birthday. It is not on my mind whatsoever.
Yeah, like, is it April already?
It's not on my mind right now. It's bad.
Yeah. It's all good, man. But it's done. Grad school started a week ago, guys. So, yeah. If you guys want to go back, you know, just don't pick something that you're not planning on being committed to because you're gonna be sorely disappointed. Other than that, I'm really enjoying the lovely shifting in the weather. It's such a beautiful day today. It was a nice walk to Sean's apartment building. The air is very still, slight breeze, about 67 degrees.
Nice.
Air quality is probably bad, but we all gotta die someday. So just take deep breaths and enjoy it. But yeah, that's it. That's it for me. I'm feeling good. I'm happy to see you.
I've
really missed you a lot.
It's been a while.
Even though we don't text that much, I'm always like wondering, like, what's Sean doing right now? Like, not in a creepy way.
It's like two o'clock in the morning or something. I sent you eggplant emojis while you're on your way.
I know. I saw that. I was like, I understand.
I was excited.
You know, this is great.
It's funny because this week was a legit hell week.
Oh, no.
And I think this is probably one of the first weeks like we actually really, truly didn't have a normal back and forth texting. Usually we text every day.
I was telling Jess, it's like you can look at our text history and it'll be like Sunday, 7:42 p.m. Yo, what's good? Tuesday, 3:44 p.m. Ain't shit, man. Thursday, sorry for the late reply. Woo!
It's all apologizing. That's all our texting card is this week. Apologizing, right. That's it.
Apologizing.
Oh,
I know.
My gosh, that's brilliant.
The reconvening takes place.
We are back. We are here. We are ready to give you some more news. A lot of great stuff to cover today. News from BMW, Jaguar, and of course Hyundai, and an interesting version of Refreshing Repulsive this week. This week was April Fool's, or I guess last week was April Fool's, Man, you know, it's funny. I usually take part in April Fools pretty regularly. I am known for pranking people on a normal basis. However, this year, life had just caught up to me, and I did not. I actually acted my age for once.
Let's just say.
So actually, you know, it's funny. Eileen will kill me for telling the story, but the year we met, that first, I think it was the third month we were still dating in April, we went out for April Fools, and we went to Shake Shack. In Chinatown, and I'll never forget this. We were sitting across from each other. We had our shakes or whatever, and I looked at her and I said, hey, I really have something serious I need to tell you before we move on in this relationship. And she goes, okay. Like, you could see she braced herself. Like, her mind and her physical, you know, she braced herself. And she goes, what do you need to tell me? I'm like, look, I really like you, and I really like where this is going, but I do need to tell you that I'm currently still married. We're in the process of getting divorced, but I'm technically still married, and we do have a kid together. And I care about you and respect you so much that I needed to tell you this before we keep moving. Mind you, this is 3 months into dating, right?
Oh, goodness.
So this is probably like our fourth or fifth date ish. Yeah. And she's just like completely dumbfounded.
Yeah.
And like doesn't know what to say. But she ended up saying like, oh, I really appreciate you, you know, telling me. And, you know, I think I'd still like to explore things. I appreciate you being upfront with me.
She's a real one.
She's a real one, you know. Yeah. And then I paused, took a deep breath, and I said, one more thing. And she's like, oh, gosh. Like, you know, that's what her face is. Yeah, she didn't say it, but she's like, oh, God.
I can't take more than this.
And I was like, April Fool's.
And then the shake flew across the table.
Actually, that was the first time she hit me. So she hit me on my arm. So that's a fun little story.
You know what I thought you were going to say? I thought you were going to be like, I don't know if this is appropriate to say, but I should say it.
Go for it.
I thought you were going to be like, I have something to tell you, but, you know, I have HIV.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, I thought it was going to be something like that. But, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. I don't think I can bleep that out, but I don't condone what he just said.
I mean, I didn't know. I didn't know.
No, I know. I got you. No. I mean, yeah.
Sorry, guys. Sorry. I mean, that could have been a pretty extreme thing. Yeah.
I mean, what's the difference between saying that? I mean, that's obviously a lot more serious.
Yeah.
But as far as like when you're meeting somebody, you're joking with somebody for the first time. That's pretty.
Right.
They're both pretty bad. Yeah. You know? It's scary. So,
Parallel life, sexually transmitted diseases.
Oh, Lord. So, I am. I tell you all that to say that this week I was truly. The knob of the week or the fool of the week, because every automaker, every piece of news that came out got my ass good. And we'll be talking about that next week in full. I mean, I'm sorry, next week. We'll be talking about the next few segments in full when we get to the refreshing or repulsive.
I was like, 2 weeks after April Fool's. April Fool's.
To be continued. Yeah. As you can see, I've lost a little bit of my touch. I'm still a little rusty here.
It's all good.
Mic.
Got the WD-40 over here.
WD-40. Oh, man.
All right.
Oil me up. Well, I have something really fun to share. I think this is going to be really cool. This is actually a really fun knob of the week. This, in light of April Fools and the pranks that we were talking about, this is a little prank I found on Facebook. These two guys are working on their cars, and they go to crank the engine on. And as he cranks the engine on, his friend on the outside, who is not visible to the person that is turning the ignition, is taking a wrench, and he's knocking the bumper to make it sound like there's a rattling noise happening as soon as they crank the engine on to see if their repairs have worked. So let's take a listen. I think it's pretty funny.
The way he said that was great.
You could tell he was like really, really pissed off,
he's
right?
He's probably working on that for like 7 hours.
So long, so long. I mean, let's take another listen.
I wonder when they told him, like when they actually told him. Because if I was dude with the wrench, I would have just busted out laughing if I heard that. You know what I mean? Like,
and if you look at the video carefully, he's legitimately like holding his face. Like he's not breaking. So.
Right.
Oh my! And it's like his old Ford Econoline van where they actually have these big metal bumpers. So he's just like rattling hard as hell.
It's a good rate though. It's a good rate of knock.
It is.
So because I guess what he has to do is basically replicate the engine turnover. Because it can't be like fast then slow then fast and slow. It's literally just got to be the rate at which the engine's the RPMs are. So we probably really thought that the car threw a rod or something like
that. Yo, that was seriously funniest damn thing.
The cruelty.
So funny. yeah, man. It's just like...
He did that on April Fool's or no?
I don't know if it was April Fool's, but it's one of the things that just came up on my timeline this week.
Right,
I've done some heinous things on April Fool's to people's cars. A couple years ago, well, 10, 11 years ago at this point.
Wow.
one thing I did, I used to work at Giant, and I was in seafood department, and I took a trout. I cut it open.
Oh, no.
I rolled it in the paper, and then my friend picked me up. Actually, a little bit of backstory. We both, at the time, drove a 91 Honda Accord.
Mm.
And for some reason, her key worked on my car, but my key did not work on her car. It was really... So clearly, there's some type of 91 Accord key defect.
A little defect. Recall.
Recall, right?
I got in the wrong car today.
Actually, man, there's another story about that. In terms of that, so back in the day when we went to Puerto Rico to visit my grandmother, my... it was like an old Corolla that we were driving, and I'll never forget that we left the Corolla in the parking lot, and we came back, and we got into another champagne colored Corolla. And the only reason my dad knew was because I was like, well, "Why is this pillow here?" I was like five,
right?
I'm like, my dad's like, "Oh shit, we're in the wrong car." Like, they were like identical specs.
Same, parked in the same area.
Parked in the same area and everything.
Whoa. So was your guy's car there, though?
Yeah, we ended up getting out. Okay. Like, we didn't leave.
I thought the owner of that car got in yours and just drove off.
Oh, man, that would have been really something. We'd have been screwed.
Oh.
So anyways, I cut this trout, put it underneath her seat. And I think later that day or the next day, I broke. I felt really guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And I messaged her, texted her, and I was like, "Hey, yo, I feel guilty. I don't want, like, I didn't want it to, like, have maggots or something. Like, I don't know what kind of, like, decomposition would have happened.
Especially if she didn't locate it immediately or something."
Exactly.
Like that.
So I told her, and she's like, "Oh, well, you know what? I really appreciate you telling me that." So the next morning, she calls me. She's like, "Hey, what time are you getting to class?" And I'm like, probably not till like 12 or so. She's like, "Oh, okay, cool. Well, let me know when you get here. I want to have lunch." I said, "Perfect."
Mm-hmm.
Little did I know, she was outside of my house. Like, I was just getting up, and she was actually opening my car door because her key worked on mine.
Right.
And she was putting it underneath my seat.
So
it took me a while to find out, and when I found out, it was
God.
It was a mess. So she got me back.
Because it had been sitting in there for a while.
It had been sitting there for a while.
You're not leaving.
But that night that I had pranked her, we actually went and we put shaving cream and saran wrapped my friend's car. We did another shaving cream on another car. Another friend's car that was parked in front of the and right on the main road. So when you come out the door, you can see just the passenger side profile.
Right.
So we just did shaving cream
on the
opposite
side. Oh god! So all the people driving past are like, "Oh, somebody got this dude."
So she was really pissed with us because I guess she had a busy morning the next day.
Oh no!
And I've never talked to her since. But
really?
Yeah, not my loss. I don't care.
Oh wow! You know, seriously?
She had a big forehead, anyways. So it was whatever.
Oh, okay, that's a problem.
But me and the girl that were pranking each other and pranking everyone that night, we actually have been best friends ever since. And she's in my wedding party. So how about that?
Oh, how nice!
Exciting. Parle. She went to Springbrook with us.
Oh yeah.
And Joseph was the one that we like saran wrapped
his
car.
Of course.
And peed on his car and all types of shit.
He's a good sport.
Oh, he's so good.
He's such a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Parle. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So cool. Those are my April Fool's jokes that are car related.
Car related.
Do you have anything that you've ever done?
No. You know what, man? I guess I'm just boring sometimes.
No,
like, I don't think I've ever.
You're not mischievous, is what it is.
Yeah. I think so, but I haven't intentionally done stuff for, like, April Fool's. Like, you talked about all the stuff you fell for. I even fell for some stuff scrolling through my timeline randomly because for me, it's like I'm cognizant when it's coming up. I'm like, okay, it's April Fool's tomorrow. Like,
right.
There's stuff that's going to come up that might seem off the wall, but it doesn't matter. Like, right. You can't be prepared for a lot of that stuff. No. Like, my friend David, he has that, he has a purple wagon, a BMW wagon.
Ooh.
From 2000. It's like the 2009 to 2011, the V8 M3.
Nice.
He took a sedan and basically took it to a shop and they made a wagon out of it.
You did tell me about this, right?
Yeah. And he posted a nice, beautiful rolling picture of it, and on the caption it said "for sale," and like my heart dropped when I saw it. And then I was like, "Wait
a minute!"
So I left a comment, and I was like, "I'll start the bidding at 75 cents." And then like 15 people commented
of
after
course.
Me. Yeah, but I immediately I was just like, but then I thought about it. I was like, "Oh, okay." It's just stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
I just don't. But I haven't actually. I guess my circle of friends, it wasn't that big, and they weren't really into, you know, I guess mischievous stuff that
was
like that. I was just antisocial, I guess.
No, it's nothing wrong. It means you're not mischievous. You're not.
I was. Mom
you're not
was
mean-spirited,
like,
you know.
Yeah, probably. Not. I guess I had so many.
You
other
were raised
going
properly.
On.
Is all it means.
Hopefully.
You know,
I'm sure you were raised properly. You can have a balance. You can be a bit of both.
I was raised properly, but I'm definitely kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, in a nice, you know, happy spirited way.
Sure.
If that is a thing.
Until people, you know, take it too seriously and they don't want to talk to you anymore.
Like, I won't mess with somebody that I know that can't take a joke.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And if you're going... And I won't do anything that's going to really ruin our friendship or going
right.
to ruin any of your property, you know?
Right, yeah.
Shaving cream, saran wrap. Like, I would never do that to, like, your BMW or your Mini. You know? That would be awful. Because I know that's a possession that means a lot to you.
Yeah, I mean, you could... Yeah, I mean... But it's all reversible. It's nothing,
I would do something... You know, a little bit different. I'd figure something out. Like maybe I'd do something to your, maybe I'd replace one of your pre-workout stuff with something else in it.
Oh, you know.
So and it wouldn't it, not that you would even consume
for
it.
Friendship termination.
You wouldn't consume it. You'd like open it up and it'd be like a dead rat or something.
Oh my god, bro.
I'm kidding. See, I'm an asshole off the top of my head. That's what I came
That'll
up with.
That'll get me going in the morning.
Yo, your heart rate would like, okay.
Oh, shot right for the next 4 hours.
Jeez. Oh, man. Well, you know what? Let's get back into the podium. We got a lot of great stuff to get into. Again, BMW, Jaguar, and Ford, and Hyundai all in the podium this week. Let's jump right into it.
Off the tarmac and falling behind on the latest happenings in the automotive industry.
Now goes PK, my goodness.
We'll get you up to speed. This is the podium.
Get down, well done.
Excellent job, mate.
Covering the top three news events of the week.
Oh, man, my ass cheeks are starting to stick to the chair.
To get a little toasty.
A little toasty. Oh, it's warm.
It's getting warm.
It's a little warm.
Is it?
I have the fan
is
off.
Is the fan off?
No, it'll be too loud.
Well, really? I thought those are pretty quiet, though. Those are like the modern fans.
They are, but it's just still sensitive enough where I don't want any air. We already have the traffic outside.
Oh, yeah.
Which is at least kind of appropriate for the kind of show.
At least the trash man hasn't come yet.
Let me tell you about this trash man, bro. This guy has been bumming me out all week. I don't even know how many times a trash truck comes to this damn neighborhood, but clearly it's like every day.
It's more often than not.
Seriously.
More than half the week.
Jesus. And then last night I'm like falling asleep at 11:30 like the old man I am, and someone's car alarm just keeps going off over and over and over
just
again.
Just recently, yeah.
You've experienced this.
Yeah.
Our in-studio guest, Jess.
Yeah.
What's your last name, Jess? Cecil, that's right.
Isn't that cool?
It is very cool.
So cool.
Who's that girl? It's Jess. You watch that show? Have you seen it?
Yeah.
It's a good show. I like the brown one, Cece.
Yeah.
That's my jam.
That's the jam.
Gives me a Witzki every time.
There you
go. And Schmidt. I love Schmidt.
Schmidt.
And I just never thought the black guy never got his due. He should have had more lines. He was always great. Winston's the man.
He's the token. That's the reason.
He's the Tolkien.
They don't have to get them.
He's
the
not talking
anymore.
Enough.
Actually, it's 2019. They give him a few more.
He needs to be the lead. He was that funny. And that's not just my. Never mind. We're not going to get into politics. All right. First up on the podium, it is BMW. Tasting in the rainbow a little bit because they have a new BMW individual program that will allow you to literally have any color you possibly want on the 3 Series. But what's really interesting and exciting about this is that they've actually brought back some really cool and rare colors that were in previous models, like the E39 M5, the E36 M3, the E46 M3, and so on. So Le Mans Blue, Estrel Blue, Fire Orange, Laguna Seca Blue, Lime Rock, Imola Red, Austin Yellow, Daytona Violet, and Oxford Green, and Sakir Orange. And they've even gone as far to offer some other automakers colors that are really, you know, important for them. So Porsche's Rivera Blue, Miami Blue, Mexico Blue, Speed Yellow, and Mint Green. And then, of course, this is a really rare one. Not rare, but a very, I would say, special one. Rosso Corsa from Ferrari, which is, of course, the red that is so important to any gearhead.
Of course.
And, of course, Nardo Gray. Goodwood Green from Audi and Verde Mantis from Lamborghini.
Oof.
So you're big into BMW, obviously. You own one. Did you hear about this? Is the first time you're hearing about this? What are your thoughts? What are your feelings?
It reminds me a bit of how they did that for the Golf R, except I guess those are a bunch of custom colors that they specifically had for one model, but it sounds like they're just doing this for the entire 3 Series range, like just all of them. Mm-hmm. That's pretty interesting because the individual program has already offered some of these. Like, if you think any color, basically, that a Lamborghini's built in, somebody's put it on their M3.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, Grigio Telesto, for example, and Grigio Medio. Those are two kind of, like, primer-colored flat grays that have originated on Lamborghinis and Audis, and Nardo as well, that literally are on 9 out of 10 F80 M3s in the state of California. That's just how they do them over there. They just like those colors. I don't know if I think that's in the individual program, by the way, guys. It's $5,000 for a color. It's additional if you want that. Some of them are more than others. For example, Verde Mantis, Lemon Blue, Laguna Seca, Lime Rock. These are not colors that they have individual, and then they have individual. So, for example, Tanzanite Blue, stuff like, I think there's three that they offered on that you can actually get from a dealership, and they're $19.50 a piece. But most of the colors that Sean listed here, they're about $5,000 and up. And if it's the first time your car has ever been painted in that color, they charge an additional about $2,000 for it, just because they have to go through the research and the staining of the palette and making sure that it's to spec and that the codes are appropriate for production. So if you want a color that hasn't been produced before, just make sure that you have the equivalent of a down payment on a small hatchback.
So to be completely clear, it's exactly what you've been saying. You really have to have deep pockets to make sure you to just individualize your spec a little bit more.
Three series,
right?
On regular 3 Series, though, why would you do that?
Yeah, man.
It's like, I want this $40,000 car, but I don't know. Whatever the percentage is, about 20% of this is going to be, the cost is going to go to the exterior color. Like, all right, definitely have a different color exterior, but you still, the guy in the M3 with the regular white is just going to laugh at you.
Any color here that you'd have, if you could have done it all over again, would you have?
I actually, my car almost wasn't going to be white.
What color were you going to get?
I was going to get Blue Hera.
Blue Hera, I'm assuming it's blue.
It's, yeah.
And
it's
some Greek in it.
It's, yeah. It's a Lamborghini Aventador blue, and it looks black in most lights. The blue only shines forth when sunlight hits it directly, but it's a very dynamic color. I actually saw a Blue Hair Aventador S on Aventador on 495.
Oh, I know what you're talking
about.
A few
years ago, yeah. It's, you know what it is? It's the blue in the Batman film. The
That's the one. Yeah. Dark Knight.
Yep.
When he was driving the Murcielago.
That was blue. That's the
first flying
time.
Bat.
Yeah. Ugh. And Draco Verde is very nice too, but anyway, I just like colors. I'm just not gonna pay that much money.
Yeah,
that, I'm sorry.
That's crazy.
I can't.
That's
too much for a regular 3 Series. It's too much.
You really gotta have deep pockets, a little extra cash to burn, huh?
Yeah. Cool concept though. I mean, they're definitely trying to market this 3 Series as something, you know. They're really trying to reclaim something with this.
Well, I think it's really nice that automakers are offering, not all of them, some of them at least, are offering other options, because a lot of times, I mean, I can't tell you how many times especially with the GTI, which is incredibly common now, it's not even funny. Mm-hmm. I'm driving around, I'm like, oh, there's a white one. And the only thing that makes mine a little bit different from theirs is that I chose, you know, the 5-spoke wheels that are not the blades that everyone else has, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, if I were to do it all over again, I would love to have a newer model that with the program that they have, where I can maybe get the yellow that is very reminiscent of the yellow that's on the Urus or something like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Something just a little bit different.
Yeah, you're right. White is definitely, I won't be getting another white car ever again.
Yeah. Never. Actually, I kick myself all the time. I really wish I could. I really wish I would have gotten mine in red.
Red is a beautiful color for a hot hatch. Red is fantastic.
Yeah.
I would know.
You sure would. It took me entirely too long to make that click.
It's okay. We never talk about her anymore, really.
One thing
can
that is
see her from here. She's over. You probably can't though. I parked pretty far. Anyway, sorry.
No, I see a Jeep and some company vehicles.
It's yellow though.
It is
yellow Jeep.
Actually, so one of my new favorite things to do before, and I'll just have a quick small story before we head to number two on our list, is go to Bethesda on Sundays and walk the trails.
Oh.
But my favorite thing is we usually get lunch in Bethesda afterwards, and the sick cars you see doing their little Sunday cruises are just incredible. I mean, you're talking old Alfa Romeos, NSXs.
So much money is in that area.
Astons, Bentleys, you know, you name it. And actually drove by the Mercedes dealership and saw the GT four-door coupe, the AMG.
Oh, the AMG GT, was it the GTC?
AMG
GT4, but it's just the one that looks like a whale.
The whale. I just called the AMG four-door coupe.
That's probably what it is.
I think that's what it's just called.
This is Euro Motor Cars, right, that you drove past?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So, and then
they have heat at that dealership.
So much heat. And then I drove in, and if you drive to the back, I mean, it's just a wall of G-Wagons, you know? Just incredible.
You know that's Bethesda. Woo! That's the heart of Jimmy Choo, Dior, Louis Vuitton's right down the street, the Neiman's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all over there.
I often feel incredibly poor.
I feel poor just hearing that. You know what I mean?
Seriously. Coming in at number two is a tie, which is impossible, but is an all-electric Jaguar F-Type, and Ford is canceling the hybrid Mustang and is moving straight to an all-electric Mustang. So we are finally seeing things not just progress, but leapfrog technology. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to have a hybrid F-Type, which I thought would have been nice because you could have had a really great balance of the hybrid components to electrify and power the vehicle with having your natural combustion stuff.
I would have liked that. And such a beautiful body.
Oh, amazing.
That is one of the most pretty cars on sale today.
And when spec'd properly, it really does rumble and roar properly. And now you're just not going to get that. So I'm interested to see what it's going to be like. And then when you have Mustang just completely saying, hey, no hybrid Mustang, another vehicle I thought would have been a cool hybrid, and jumping straight to all electric.
I was going to say maybe they skipped it also because of the EcoBoost that they sell. And it's kind of like, all right, well, this is close enough.
Right.
The only way that something like this, I feel, would be revolutionary is if they took the most powerful versions of each vehicle, being the 5.0 and then the F-Type 5.0 supercharged, and then hybridized, you know, those vehicles.
Yeah.
Which might have helped a bit. I mean, it would have made them absurdly expensive and quick, but at the very least, they would have been somewhat more efficient. Then again, I'm really not too sure how much more efficient they would have been, because they probably would have needed to rework the entire vehicle. The computer would need remapping. I mean, the 5.0 is not an efficient engine. Like, it's just it's a block from, like, the 1700s, and it's just got the same, you know what I mean? So that would be, it's cool though, because there's a market for those cars now. I mean, for that type of vehicle, that alternative energy. I am tired of seeing the Model 3. I just don't want to see it anymore.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because the Model 3 actually had some really poor numbers in the first quarter of the year compared to their fourth quarter of last year.
Probably the worst numbers, a.k.a. the best numbers that any other company has ever.
They're popping up a lot.
I hate them.
Just some other extra news as we sprinkle it in between the podium is the Ford Focus is obviously dead.
R.I.P.
But the Escape is now going to be just a raised Ford Focus. So the Escape is getting un-SUV-like and moving more into the crossover territory, because they're going to be making space for a new baby Bronco that will take the Escape segment.
The place of the Escape.
Take the place of the Escape.
Hmm.
So bad news, interesting news. I always thought the Escape was a pretty nice small SUV before you get to things like the EcoBoost and stuff like that. Or the Echo.
EcoSport.
EcoSport, that's the one.
Is the EcoSport smaller or bigger than this?
I think the EcoSport is a Fiesta on stilts.
Yeah, okay. It's smaller. Yeah, I was going to say.
Smaller, yeah.
Okay. Man, I hate that they're getting rid of hatches, though, man. Like, there's so many of them, you know what I mean? But I guess, you know what's happening, though? I think that I see what's happening. Over the course of many years, they've increased the size of the largest SUV, and they've decreased the size of the smallest.
Yeah.
So it's become a point of encroaching upon a market that might have had a certain amount of clientele. And the thing is you price them, you know, in a relative sense. So now you have stuff like the BMW X2, for example, or the X1, which are only a little bit larger than your car, right? Mm-hmm. And cost about the same.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And now you have, you know, behemoths like the X7 now, which are basically a three-bedroom condominium on wheels.
Yeah.
And, you know, now you're spoiled for choice. It's kind of like, if you didn't want an SUV, you're going to end up with one eventually. It's just kind of like, you know, it's like what James May said about, you know, owning a, it's funny because I've been looking at like Volvos lately. It's what he said about owning a Volvo wagon. He's like, it's just like, you know, it's like going to the dentist. Eventually, you're going to have to go just get it over with, and you're just going to have to conform. Like, it's just going to happen. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I'm conflicted on that. I've never cared much for the Escape or the EcoSport or stuff like that. I feel like, you know, just go to what's the smallest SUV after that? What's below the Explorer? Do they make something small?
That would have been the Escape.
Oh, it is the Escape.
Yeah, it'd been EcoSport, Escape, Explorer.
Expedition,
and they don't make the Excursion anymore.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah.
Me and Eileen talk about it all the time, because I think we're moving in to, well, actually I did, when I was DJing a lot and doing a lot of private events, the one car that I did consider was a hybrid Escape. It had great reviews, and being able to save money on gas
and
was
really good.
That's
the smallest size you should go, though. Like, I think completely anything agree. Smaller than that is, I think that's pointless.
It's pointless.
You know what I mean?
It's pointless. Because there's really, you really don't have any extra utility. It's silly.
Right.
At that point, you just keep it
get a GTI.
Or even more so, just keep it into a Fiesta. If that's what it is, you know what I mean? Taking a Fiesta and raising it is not doing anything but making people think they're getting more space when they're not.
It's just higher off the ground.
Right.
So we really live in a culture where they sell off-road vehicles to vehicles that will never go off-road. And they have like brainwashed people into thinking that that's what they're actually getting, when in reality, and you've seen on the Grand Tour, half of these things can't even perform in the rain properly.
No, not at all.
You know what I mean? So it's like, what are you really doing here? It's literally the psychological, you know, infusion of this, the times that we live in. Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah,
people don't know.
It's just people like feel like they always need and want something big, you know. I mean, you see that a lot here. There's I mean, man, you can go down any street, stand on a corner, and you'll run out of fingers and toes counting how many people are driving Chargers and Challengers just for the heck of it, you know what I mean? And then the same goes for folks that are driving SUVs for the heck of it. Did you really need it? Number one, can you really drive it? But I guess at the end of the day, as long as you have the money, you can have it, right? So,
but do they have the money?
Well, that's a whole other topic for another day. That's a good question, though. Coming in at number one is Hyundai, beating out, of course, Jaguar and Ford and BMW, which is interesting. But the reason I find this news interesting is because Hyundai said that they're going to help pay back student debt.
Interesting.
So, of course, the only caveat is that you have to buy a Hyundai, and they will actually give you $900 towards your student loans, which doesn't seem like a bad idea. It doesn't seem like much, I would say. Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, you're getting a very reliable vehicle, probably a great warranty package.
Oh, yeah. You'll never have to spend money keep maintaining it for a while.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so they went ahead, and this is like a little excerpt from CNBC. Over 44 million Americans have student loan debt totaling over $1.5 trillion. They claim that the average student loan is around $37,000, which can severely impact the early life establishing moves that are normally made by young adults in their 20s and 30s. I'm feeling it right now.
Yeah,
With 83% of Americans relying on a car to get to work every day, owning a vehicle is clearly an important part of these life establishing moves. Eligible customers, and I guess that is going to be the fine print, which is going to help you either make you eligible or not.
Right.
Will receive a contribution of up to, again, fine print, $900 toward their student loan debt when purchasing or leasing a new Hyundai. The scheme is a result of Hyundai's internal innovation contest, which encourages employees to come up with new and innovative ideas.
Interesting. So an employee must have submitted that, thrown that into the think tank.
I think that's really cool to see that Hyundai is fostering that kind of creativity internally.
Yeah, that is really interesting. I wonder, I mean, honestly, they're one of the major players now, to be honest, in the automotive scene.
Totally.
I mean, this is just one of those things where I don't know if this will be enough to, you know, sway or make or break someone's decision to actually go purchase one, because I kind of feel like that's just one of those things where if you want it, you want it, and if you don't, you don't type thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, wow, that is really good. I like that a lot. I wonder what other concepts have been submitted via their innovation program.
Yeah, like what didn't make it?
Yeah, you know, like runner-ups and stuff. I wonder if they publicize that type of information.
I think it's really cool. You know, I'm interested to see what will make somebody eligible
for the program. Yeah, me too. I wonder too. Try to check.
So I guess the question is, if you had to partake in this, what car are your student? What are you having?
What do they make? Kia makes the Stinger. I was gonna say the Stinger, but that's not a Hyundai.
No, they're both Korean, but not close.
Oh man,
kind of. I guess they're kind of the same company. So.
See, the thing is if they made the i30N or something, you know, that's the only car I really would like.
You wouldn't
have
a Volster in?
Well, the three door thing is kind of a deal breaker ish.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird to me because that's what I have now, and I don't really like it that much on the Clubman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, but I'd have to buy it too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so it's like, if I, I would have a Type R over that, to be honest with you.
Right,
you
but, but Honda's not giving you $100.
But that's what I'm saying. $900 for up eligible, to. Eligible up if to eligible, for up eligible. To.
So you can clear, you can actually go in,
buy the car. And, oh, I'm here for the student. Right. It's like, oh wait, hold on, now we got to check to see.
So maybe this is not a great idea. Maybe this is all a really bad plan.
They're just trying to sell more cars.
Because I just figured it out as we're joking and laughing about it. To get the total of $900, you have to be eligible, which probably means you have to probably buy a higher price range vehicle.
Right.
Right?
Right, yeah.
Because what's the difference between this and just simply doing the whole like $1,000 cash back thing, right? It's not. It's actually not that good of a... This plan sucks.
It's going somewhere else. Right, exactly. Knock it off. It's the first ever piece of news to get knocked off the podium.
Completely trash.
Oh, Lord.
Completely trash. Jeez, well, I guess we just, we went from loving the idea.
Consumer advice, we're just trying to help people out here. Nobody do this, guys.
Oh, man. Well, let's get into my favorite topic of the week, my favorite segment, and this is a definitely a special one. It's the April Fool's edition of Refreshing Repulsive.
From hideous.
Damn, you are ugly.
Handsome.
I want you. I want all of you. Forever.
We have no issues telling you what we love or hate.
Especially if it's Ferrari, California.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No!
This is Refreshing or Repulsive.
Yes, yes, we are...
The title of this is funny.
We are
Sean's
here.
Sean's a Fool edition.
It is the Sean's a Fool edition. I'll even put some sad music in the background because, boy, I'm an idiot. I fell for every trick in the book this week.
Oh.
Including this one. This is Lamborghini's Urus pickup. And damn it, they got me.
Yeah, but you know what? I can see how, or, well, no, I can't. Just because it's Lamborghini, and I feel like they would cut off their hands before they did something like this. They probably, you think somebody designed, well, you think, I was going to say a Lamborghini designer couldn't have done this as a joke, because he wouldn't have a job anymore.
No, this was a render from a fan. Well, what got me was the fact that the render is just so damn good.
It's really good.
And I can honestly see it going up against, although it does completely outclass the Mercedes X-Class, mm-hmm. I can see it kind of fitting in that realm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've already have a SUV that's supposed to technically fight the G-Wagon and the Land Rovers and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, I don't think they live up to the off-roading capabilities of those aforementioned vehicles. But this thing looks like it can really make a run for the Raptor's head if it wanted to.
This looks like... It looks like a Dune assassin.
Yes.
Like you'll take it out to Dubai and you'll literally find like those, you know, 100,000 mile square foot dunes that are like 400 feet tall and you just go to town in this thing. Like it's got the big chunky tires. Suspension travel would probably be really good even though it's low enough, but it's not... You know, too high,
right?
You know, this would be a fun toy, like for a rich person, for like a rich redneck.
Well, it's funny. I wouldn't even say redneck. You mentioned it earlier. This is exactly something somebody from Dubai would do because they have so much stupid
so
money.
So much stupid money. This is probably their. This is their Model 3 over there.
Right. Is completely agree. Oh my gosh. Refreshing or repulsive? What are you thinking about this fake Urus pickup? From Lamborghini.
The more I look at it, I kind of like it now. It's growing on me. I think I'll have to go for it. Because I looked at it and I was like, we're so used to seeing the Urus as it is.
Yes.
So it's like, ugh, this looks bad. You know what I mean?
But more you look at it, the more it makes sense.
I like it. I wish I could see the rear.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
And it's got very wide fender haunches there.
Mm-hmm.
That would make it look great.
I completely love it. Let's go for it. Refreshing
so
as hell.
Cool.
Number two on the list, sticking in the theme of Yaris pickup. Of course, Yaris, if you don't know, is, I think, it's Toyota's smallest hatchback.
They still make it, huh?
They still make it.
I wonder if we've seen one lately.
You don't see them. I think the thing about the Yaris is, I have a feeling they might, and I can't confirm this or not, this is just my speculation, they might be phasing it out because the Corolla hatchback has kind of taken its place.
Right, that's true. Okay.
And then they also had, I think this is the same platform they had for the small Scion hatchback too.
The X, I wonder if it's XB.
Well, XB is the box, I think.
Oh, so is it?
XA might be the one.
XA. Yeah, yeah,
and
okay.
I think there
XA.
Might have been a smaller one than that too, no?
I think that was the smallest.
The smallest?
I think they might have shared the platform.
Possibly.
You know?
Possibly.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow,
I've never seen one. That's interesting. They sell it in the United States?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, dang.
They do.
People too busy buying Corollas.
I mean, I'd have a Corolla hatch over this nonsense any day. Unless I could have it in pickup variation. What do you think about this thing?
I don't like it, man. I think it looks... I've been waiting to say that for a long time. I think it looks... It looks kind of sad. Like, it looks like one of those cars they use in the parking garages to, like, put the trash in the back of by emptying all the cans on each level. And they just throw it in the back and they just drive it around the guys in the high-visibility jackets just getting out. And, oh, boy. Put the little light on top of the roof so people don't hit it in the parking garage.
It looks like something you'd see in Great Britain.
Yeah.
It looks like it should probably just have three wheels. Like...
Oh, like one in the middle, right?
One in the middle, in the back, or in the front, whichever you prefer.
Oh, no, not in the back, because that's the one that steers.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And it looks like a really sad fish. It looks like a fish that died in Finding Nemo that we didn't hear about or something.
Yeah, I know. Oh, God.
It's bad news, bro. It's not good.
This makes me sad now.
Bad rendering. Complete fail. Repulsive.
Yeah.
Number three, the Hyundai Veloster N Roadster. Can I just say, off bat, I'm just gonna say it. Completely refreshing. I would actually have one of these.
This
things.
Looks so good.
It looks so good.
It looks like how the Z4, almost like they took a Z4, yes. With very short. Oh, it's even got a spoiler.
Actually, look it up online. They'll have different.
Really?
Renders from different angles. This thing looks like it would actually give the Fiat 124 and the Miata MX-5 a run for its money. Yeah. That's the class it looks like it's in, and it looks so convincingly good. Hyundai, you might actually have to make this.
Yeah, like, use the same motor and all... I typed it in wrong, but it still came up. So I typed it in, and it says Hyundai Grolar N Roadster. And it still... It knew it just came up. Google knows, because it doesn't exist, so this is all that's going to come up.
It's great.
Ooh, the back. It looks like a Porsche Boxster.
Looks so good.
Whoa. The only positive April Fool's fail. And I really love how it gives the illusion of real width. Like, the headlights are really far apart. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I like stuff like that. Like, smaller headlights and a nice chunky mesh grill, and the lights look like they're basically on the fenders on either side. like that picture there.
Oh, that does look really good.
I kind of like that.
That looks like a true concept. You know when how cars really do look like that in the concept form when they're just drawings and renders?
I feel like they might make this. Like, why would they have so many pictures of this otherwise?
It's super convincing.
You know what
they
I mean?
They did a great job.
This is a horrible joke.
I know.
If it's not. Like even this, why are they doing this?
That looks good.
This looks really good.
He's showing me a top end view. Oh, yeah. It's got like a hard top on it. It looks bloody good.
Yeah.
How
pretty.
If you know what, it would be interesting to see if the reception was so good that Hyundai was like, you know what, let's just make a one off and see what happens.
Then I go get my $900 to pay off my student loans. I found my car.
There you go.
How nice.
This one really got me. I knew it was fake because why would they do this? Because everyone's chopping the sedan. But in a weird alternate reality, I kind of wish this was real. I'm kind of interested to see if this would ever happen. I know it won't, but what would it look like? Jeep did a Jeep sedan, and it really is just the front of a Cherokee on a 300. That's all it is.
That's what it is.
But can I say something? I think it actually fits and looks pretty damn good.
It works.
It works.
It works. The 300 has grown into... I think because it hasn't been styled in such a long time. It's like the Challenger, except I actually like muscle cars, so I'll give that to the Challenger.
Right.
Because the Challenger is actually a 300C underneath as well.
Yes, complete. We agree.
But I think this is pretty cool because it gives it new life. I mean, I would mold the rest of the body to be a bit more Jeep-like, because there's nothing in the Jeep range, I think, that kind of... I mean, other than the Grand Cherokee, well, I guess they're all pretty blocky. Never mind. I guess because I see the 300C so obviously in this that I don't want it to be there. You know, I want it to be something else, but it's integrated perfectly. Like, the front, it just sits there like it's supposed to be there.
Yes, it certainly does.
You know what I mean?
You know what I want to see next? I want to see an SRT version of this.
Oh, my God.
I want to see a Hellcat version of this.
And the thing is they have the 300C SRT and then Magnum SRT8, like all those cars they made.
Yeah.
They could certainly make a Jeep SRT8 sedan.
Unbelievable. I think this thing looks so freaking good.
And imagine, like, with a, like, or what would they call it? They could call it, a drag hawk or something like that. Yeah, like to that. Take the Hellcat
motor. Drag hawk.
It
I like that.
Because it's like track hawk and then drag hawk.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like a Shit. Big sedan, slap some 325s on there, a Jeep drag hawk.
Dude, you got me sold. I want this thing tomorrow.
This looks, I mean, if they make this, people would buy it. But this would also be such a break from convention because this would be the first car in the history of the company.
I think they did. I think the closest thing that they had to a car was like a Wagoneer.
Yeah.
You know, but like what would it take for Jeep? What would people say if Jeep said, "Hey, we're going to make one car. Everyone's breaking away from the cars and sedans. Ford's axed the Fusion. Who else has let their cars go?" I mean, just little by little people are getting rid of them. What would happen if they're like, "Hey, you know what? We're going to put something in this segment." And it, you know what? Does it have to be luxury? Could it be something more rugged that fits in line with the Wrangler, the new Gladiator? Because here's the thing. It couldn't be... If it's going to be luxury, it would have to take a lot of components from the Cherokee. It couldn't be anything underneath that like the... What are some of the other ones? The Commander and stuff like
Compass.
That? The Compass. The Patriot.
It would have to be the flagship.
Yeah, because those SUVs, those Jeeps... are like, okay, I can afford a Cherokee and I can afford a Wrangler, but I want to be in the family. That's how I perceive them.
No, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
But if you're going to come out, you'd be basically making the big four. You would have your Wrangler, your Cherokee, your Gladiator, and then your one sedan that is in the same vein of those vehicles. So it would have to be something luxurious but capable.
I wonder how they'd price it.
I mean, it's probably going to be... Rumor is the first edition Gladiator is going to be $37,000. And that's way marked up way higher because it's a first edition.
This is the pickup?
That's the pickup.
Mm-hmm.
We know pickups
are
inflated.
But that's not a bad price.
That's not a bad price.
Is
and
it
I think
still
it's
too
gonna,
high, though?
I think it's high because it's not a true full-size pickup.
Oh,
because
right.
The Gladiator is still technically like a Jeep. Mid-size Jeep.
Ooh,
so
like a Ranger?
I would say Ranger.
Okay.
But I still don't know what like the true specs are and how much bed space it has and all that stuff compared to the Ranger and so on.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, I love it.
Yeah. I like it. I like it a lot too. Another car that I'd like to see the rear of.
Completely agree.
You know.
That's probably when we'll be disappointed. not on the list this week, and it's not a April Fool's refreshing your pulse. It was actually the Genesis G70. I didn't put this on the list. I'll show it to you in a bit. The rumor is the Genesis G70 is going to have a coupe version at some point. So now if you know the history of the Genesis, it was obviously once a Hyundai Genesis, which was a coupe. Then they spinned off the whole Genesis line into its own luxury brand for Hyundai. This
so
is what
nice.
It looks like. The coupe version could look like. And then scroll down and you'll see the rear of it and everything.
Oh, Lord.
Whoa. Live reactions only here on Through the Apex.
Whoa. I already really like this the line though.
Yeah.
Like everything that they make, I think, and even editors, you know, of the large magazines, they really like the way that they drive, they like their layout, the functionality, and all that stuff. But that man, that looks like a grand touring vehicle.
Sure does.
Like a 6 Series.
So if I can describe it to you, obviously you guys need to go look at this. Just type in Genesis G70 Coupe Render, and what's going to come up is going to be a red Genesis. You'll probably see the front end view first. You go to motor1.com to see it. They actually did a whole article on it, and it's very, very sexy, as they say in their title. Now, I have looked at some of the comments online, and some people say that it looks a little bit too much like an Alpha. The grill, the lights... maybe even Kia Stinger front end, and then the rear looks a little BMW, a little Mercedes-ish. Listen, I don't care. We all know Hyundai and Kia have been the kings and queens of
bootlegging
from other people, but they're Hyundai specifically, especially with this Genesis line, they're at the point where they're stealing things from other people blatantly and making it look so much better than the people that have originated the style. That's just how I feel. That's a hot take.
I mean, I think so too. I also don't think it looks like those cars.
I don't see it.
It's the color.
It's the color. Because it is a very very quadrifoglio.
It's an Alfa Romeo red.
Right.
Yeah, there. It's the color.
But man, this thing looks good. Completely refreshing. I'd have one in a heartbeat.
It looks like a Genesis. What are people talking about? Like, I looked. That looks like what it's supposed to be.
But you know what, people? People like to complain about everything.
Come on,
you know?
People. You can't afford. You probably can't afford one of these. I probably can't afford one of these.
So
we're gonna make like $70,000 or something.
So here it goes. Check it out. This is the first. This is the first comment on it. Nice Infiniti coupe. Next guy, doesn't look like an Infiniti. Next person, agreed. Saw a G70 in the showroom recently. Proportions, driving position, and luxury level easily outdo the Infiniti. Not even close. Pics don't do it justice. Next person. Yep, Infiniti copycat, but Infiniti looks much better. Let's see.
Oh,
That is one ugly front grille. The rear looks like an Infiniti Q60. I don't know, man. People
what?
Hate.
A Q60?
People hate all the time.
Doesn't the Q60 have little skinny taillights? Anyway.
I think so. Oh, there's some other things that we didn't get to that's on, that not on our list. The P80 one-off that Ferrari did for the customer?
Oh, yeah. The racing car.
Jesus.
Yes.
We have to talk about that, right?
Yeah, we should talk about
that.
We
should probably talk about that.
I was pretty blown away. They have a video. They had a promotional video. Did you see?
I didn't.
That was the
see
one
it.
Person. Not the one person. That was one of the few things that I did on social media over the last couple of weeks. I went on the IGTV and I looked at that Ferrari video because they had a history talking about what the customer wanted and what it was supposed to represent.
Jeez.
And man, it is. Yeah, I'll go back and look at it.
So
as well.
It's supposed to be. An homage, whichever you want to say, to the 60s. What is it? Is it the P34?
The 330 P4.
The 330 P4. My bad.
No, yeah.
Because I know there's some slashes in there, and I can't remember which. There's so many different
this
variations.
This one, right, Sean?
That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one. Obviously, this is built off of the, was it the 488 platform?
Yeah, the 488 platform. It's the Ferrari P80C. Yeah. That's
goodness gracious, this thing is insane.
I'm trying to get. So, this is a. Yeah, this is. I don't know. I found the video, but it's just a bunch of talking and it's a bunch of sketches leading up to it. But, and they have a video of it driving around. I'll probably just send it to Sean. We might, I guess, we could probably put it on the.
We'll put it on our
podcast,
podcast or something, yeah.
But. Yeah, it's really fantastic. The full link goes to the IGTV video, but yeah, it's pretty long. They basically talk in the beginning, and it cuts to track driving of it, and it's just
sheesh.
It looks like a spaceship.
This the rear of it is just completely. I don't know why this picture's doing.
I know
that.
It's doing that weird stuff.
But this thing is just beautiful all the way around, and much better looking than the other one-offs they did, like the SP38 and so on.
Yeah, the only one-off that I really liked that they made was that F12 variant. I think it was called the. I don't even remember. But I think Car Lifestyle or somebody did a post of all the Ferrari one-offs they'd ever done.
Oh.
And it was pretty nice. It's like a chrome. F12 with a chop taken off, and it's got a special name to it as well. But I just they only made one of those two. But I mean, it's interesting now that you can go to a mainstream company like this, and if you wave enough money around, they will dedicate a section of their production line to making you something.
They sure will.
You know what I mean? Like it's just wow.
Can I say that this is what the Tributo should have looked like? Or maybe, because this looks bigger and more ferocious than the 488 line. You know, maybe this is something I would have loved the LaFerrari successor to look something like this. Maybe it still can.
They might take this design, these design elements, and do so because it honestly looks like something from. It looks like something from tomorrow. It looks like the race car of tomorrow.
It reminds me a lot of what Aston's doing with the big overhang front splitters and nasty rear ends.
Mm-hmm.
It just has more Ferrari-ish lines.
And I love the almost invisibility of the A-pillar.
Yes.
Like it just looks like it's wearing a RoboCop, you know, helmet or something like
that.
It's
so brilliant.
You know what I mean?
It's so brilliant.
Wow. I wonder how much it I'm thinking that it might be probably 1.5.
It's got to be.
Because it's not going to be anything much greater than that because it's not putting out that much power. It's
not
just using the existing power plant.
not at all. Well, that is going to be the show today.
Yeah,
we're back. Next week, we will more than likely have some DC Auto Show news for you. We'll be hopefully trying to make it to the shows, depending on our schedules in one way or the other. So look out for some content about that. We'll talk about Aston Martin and their SUV. Of course, Bugatti might be getting into the SUV market also, so a lot of news on that to come. You can find me at makeshiftfilms.net at makeshift underscore films on Instagram, at through the underscore apex on Instagram for us. Send us your submissions. Chime in on what you want to talk about. And of course, you can find Mark Anthony and all of his fitness tips and tricks at machinegain-labs.com. Make sure you guys all reach out to us. Where can they find you on your personal Instagram?
Well, I don't use it that much anymore, guys.
Okay, never mind. Don't worry about that.
Mark Anthony underscore Murray.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to Through the Apex. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Through the Underscore Apex. Don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.